Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Hope you guys had a good weekend. I know I said I wasn't going to be back until Tuesday, but you know, sitting around the house this weekend, honestly didn't do much. The NBA Finals is over now. The Stanley Cup is won by the Washington Capitals, and not a whole lot going on this weekend. And I just thought, God, I got to wait till Tuesday to record another Steelers podcast. I got more content in me. Today I want to talk about I just want to clear up some of the things around minicamp that are happening around the football team, you know, specifically the contract situation with Le'Veon Bell. And then I also want to clear up the stuff we talked about on Friday as far as Antonio Brown. And he skipped the last couple days of OTAs, even though Ben was there. He made some weird Instagram posts. Just I want to clear up all of that today so we have all of that off the plate. Tomorrow we can preview minicamp and then get into minicamp podcasts on Wednesday through Friday. All right, but let's start today with the news and notes from the weekend, and we have to start with the crazy trade rumors that heated up on Friday about Rob Gronkowski potentially being traded. This all started on a Reddit post that people found where someone had the Julian Edelman suspension news about a week before it was ever reported by ESPN or any of the sports news sites. So that same person who had the Edelman news on Reddit then would go on Friday to post that he was hearing something even crazier is happening within the New England Patriots organization. And that spiraled on Twitter to become Rob Gronkowski potentially being traded, which then was almost immediately shot down. Like within the hour of the speculation about Rob Gronkowski coming out, it was then shot down by multiple reports. But where we left off with that was a tweet by Adam Kirkjian, who was a former writer for the Boston Herald and is now a freelance writer, but still has multiple sources within the Patriots organization that were telling him that the Rob Gronkowski trade rumors were true. Belichick wanted to trade Gronk, and they had offers on the table from both the 49ers, who they had traded Jimmy Garoppolo for a year ago. So that is definitely a working relationship there between the Patriots and the Niners, and also an offer on the table from the Tennessee Titans. And remember, the Titans now are head coached by Mike Vrabel, who is a former defensive coach for the New England Patriots. So again, you know, very believable trading partners. Now, the report gets a little off the rails when he starts talking about how Robert Kraft had closed door meetings to discuss this trade and that Tom Brady then threatened to retire if they traded Rob Gronkowski. And so Robert Kraft had to nix the deal. You know, we've heard so much this offseason about how bad the relationship between Brady and Belichick has gotten. And this report certainly plays into that. Now, and it plays into it so much that it almost becomes unbelievable at this point, right? Not to say that trading Gronk was off the table for the Patriots. I think trading Gronk, you know, makes some reasonable sense for the Patriots in that they know, you know, they Bill Belichick is always the kind of guy who's going to get rid of someone a year early and get as much as they can for him, right? And we're going to look back at the Garoppolo trade and say that was probably a bad trade because it only got them a second round pick. But with Rob Gronkowski, right, trading him now would be very Belichick-esque in that trading him, you know, probably a year too early, but hopefully, you know, in Belichick's eyes, it would be getting him for the most you could. Rob Gronkowski was considering retirement after the Super Bowl loss. He's part of the TB12 program that Belichick hates so much. We've heard so much over the past couple weeks about how unfun it is to be a New England Patriot, and yet Rob Gronkowski's still out there, you know, doing Gronk stuff, which I'm sure Belichick is not pleased with. So, and Gronk has always been a guy who's been up and down as far as, you know, injuries and that kind of thing. And so getting up there in age, and I'm sure the wear and tear is part of the reason why he was considering retirement. And so, you know, all of those things certainly add up to Belichick wanting to trade him. But if that report is true, that Brady is, you know, threatening retirement, and that power struggle within the Patriots is getting that bad where, you know, Belichick wants to trade a guy and then Brady has to threaten retirement to stop it, and the owner has to step in to make the final decision, that's bad. We could talk about weirdness going on in the Steelers organization and that kind of thing, and you know, but what's going on in New England is very strange, if this report is to be believed. But in the end, Rob Gronkowski remains a member of the New England Patriots. And again, I would say take that report with some, you know, with a grain of salt, because it is so out there that it becomes a little bit unbelievable. Earl Thomas of the Seattle Seahawks is sitting out mandatory minicamps. He wrote on social media that he is waiting on his new deal and will not be reporting to minicamp until he gets his contract negotiation worked out. I bring this up because I want to talk about this in relation to what's happening with Le'Veon Bell. You know, Le'Veon Bell's absence from minicamp this week will be deemed in some places as a holdout, but I don't think that that's fair. I think what Earl Thomas is doing, right, writing on social media that he's not showing up, he is a member of the Seattle Seahawks, he has a contract with the Seattle Seahawks, and yet he is going to be skipping a mandatory minicamp for them. That is very different than what's happening with Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers. And while in both cases there is a contract negotiation going on, Earl Thomas is a member of the Seahawks, whereas Le'Veon Bell, let's not forget, at this point is still a free agent. Right, the franchise tag does not mean that Le'Veon Bell is a Pittsburgh Steeler. All it means is that Le'Veon Bell cannot negotiate at this point with any other organizations. Right, he has to negotiate exclusively with the Pittsburgh Steelers for his deal, and then he has to sign that franchise tag by, I think it's like week six of the regular season is as long as he can wait before he has to sign his franchise tag. So, again, for all intents and purposes, at this point, Le'Veon Bell is not a Pittsburgh Steeler. He is still a free agent. And it's important to recognize this as we talk about not only his absence over the past 2 weeks at OTAs, but even this week when it comes to minicamp or when it comes to training camp, right? It's not, I think this certainly at minicamp is not a holdout, right? This is just him using his leverage to try and get a new deal, right? He doesn't have to sign this franchise tag. And the Steelers don't have to give him a franchise tag, right? But both sides are using their leverage, right? The Steelers certainly don't want Le'Veon Bell on the free market, you know, and he's getting his deal, you know, he's getting his $15, $16 million deal from some other team, right? They want to have this exclusive negotiating rights. And by the same token, that means that Le'Veon Bell is going to not sign it until he absolutely has to, so that, you know, it puts more pressure on the Steelers to work out a long-term deal if they want him to be a member of the organization, let's say before minicamp or before training camp, that kind of thing. Now, it gets a little murkier when we start talking about whether or not he's holding out throughout training camp. Because the training camp comes after the July 15th deadline by which these two sides can no longer work out a long-term deal. Now, at that point, we are certainly just arguing semantics at that point, because while Le'Veon Bell does not have to sign the franchise tag until week six or whenever the deadline is, and he won't sign it probably until right before week one like he did a year ago, there's nothing for him, there's nothing to be gained by him, you know, not signing it until week one, right? He could, after July 15th, nothing is going to happen. Right, and we all know now, the Steelers know, Le'Veon Bell knows, all the fans know, when he doesn't sign, if they don't get a deal done by July 15th, this is his last season. And so at that point, I do think it becomes a more interesting discussion about whether or not he should just sign the deal on July 15th or July 25th when training camp opens and show up for training camp and try to do his best, you know, to be better at the beginning of this season than he was a season ago and come in, you know, hopefully a little more in football shape, that kind of thing. Again, not to say that Le'Veon Bell had a bad season last year. He certainly did not. But certainly, you could, you know, there's no arguing that he was a little slow going at the beginning of last season. So just want to bring that up. I don't want to get into the Le'Veon Bell, is it a holdout? Is it not a holdout? I mean, training camp, it's a much more interesting discussion. But this time, minicamp, I would not say that this is a holdout on Le'Veon Bell's part. He is just using the leverage, that the only leverage he has left in this negotiation, which is to not sign this franchise tag. Before we get into the Antonio Brown Instagram post, let me tell you about today's sponsor. It's BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. And BlueChew.com, you know, we talked a lot about the Steelers' defense on this podcast and, you know, it needing to get better year over year. We need a star, right? They got to shake it up a little bit. If you're having the same problem in the bedroom, well, I have got the product for you. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill. So when the opportunity arises, be ready. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online. So you are just going to go to bluechew.com. You're going to fill out an online form. They're going to prescribe it to you online. They're going to ship it to you in a discreet package. So there will be no in-person doctor visit. There will be no explaining to the doctor why you're there. There will be no waiting in the pharmacy. And there will be no awkwardness whatsoever. They're made in the USA and they ship directly. So they are cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, for listeners of this podcast, I have a special deal. Visit bluechew.com. That's blue like the color blue. And get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. You're just going to pay $5 shipping. Again, that's bluechew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. All right, and then let's talk about Antonio Brown and everything that's happened with him over the past week or so. I think a lot of what's happened with him is, I don't know, the media is just kind of treating him unfairly in some ways, or at least taking a lot of what's happening with him out of context. Two big things happened, right? He sat out OTAs and said he didn't want to be there unless Ben was there. He only wanted to practice with Ben, which got taken as a slight to Landry Jones and Mason Rudolph, which, you know, is unfair, right? Clearly, Antonio Brown is trying to sing the praises of his quarterback. This is a quarter and give respect to his quarterback, the only quarterback that he's known as a Pittsburgh Steeler, right? And that is Ben Roethlisberger. The next thing was, him sitting out the OTA practices after Ben got back. And again, who cares? It's two OTA practices that he missed while Ben Roethlisberger was there. He had already missed so many prior. Non-issue, right? Non-issue missing the last 2 days of OTAs. And then the last piece was this Instagram post, which I think was the most interesting one, and certainly left a lot of Steeler fans with raised eyebrows, because, and this was in large part because of the large social media kind of stream of consciousness that he went on both Instagram and Twitter, posting a lot of things, a lot of them nonsensical or just hard to decipher, and some of them not really football related. But the one I think that got the most play in Steeler Nation was his Instagram post where he somewhat calls out Bruce Arians and Mike Tomlin. And he said, "Bruce Arians said he's a special teams guy. He can't learn the plays, hots and sights, not smart enough. Coach T benched me on a bye week, said two dogs, one bone. God bless him. Hashtag put some respect on my name." So look, that post obviously coming out of the blue in June, and everyone's in the middle of this Antonio Brown, you know, can I vent kind of thing, certainly raised a lot of eyebrows, no doubt about it. But I think looking at it now, right, or even looking at it at the time, I mean, yes, it came during this weird stream of consciousness from Antonio Brown, and so you're worried, like, was he pissed off at someone in the organization? But now looking at it, I mean, this is just, you know, your classic athlete using things that happened in his career as motivation to keep him going forward, right? You know, Antonio Brown early on in his career was wildly misevaluated. There's no doubt about that. And Bob Laboria put on Steelers.com some context around that post in particular, saying that Bruce Arians during the offseason or during the preseason process of 2010, of Antonio Brown's rookie year, that he thought Antonio Brown would be nothing more than a practice squad player. And he wanted to cut Antonio Brown during the cuts in the 2010 season. Now, it didn't happen, right? Bruce Arians was clearly overruled by whether it was Tomlin or Scotty Montgomery, the wide receiver coach at the time, or Kevin Colbert, right? Whoever it was that overruled them obviously made the right choice. And you know, Bruce Arians, and when Antonio Brown makes mention during this Instagram post of he's a special team guy, right? He can't learn the plays, hots and sights, meaning he can't learn the hot reads or learn, you know, when to change his route based on the coverage. I mean, that was a lot of what Antonio Brown, what the reports on Antonio Brown were coming out of college. Would this guy be able to become an elite route runner? Would he be able to learn an NFL playbook? Would he be able to learn the intangibles of the game? That's why he went in the sixth round instead of the first, right? Those are a lot of the reasons why he was wildly misevaluated in a lot of ways. But this, you know, it's not exclusive to Antonio Brown, right? James Harrison same thing, right? James Harrison, and even and in James Harrison's case, it just took a while for him to develop as a football player, right? I mean, Tom Brady, wildly misevaluated. Terrell Davis, wildly misevaluated, right? It's not exclusive to Antonio Brown, some of the things that got said about him early in his career. And he makes mention of Tomlin and the two dogs, one bone thing, right? You know, make no mistake about it. Antonio Brown's rookie season, he was definitely fighting for a roster spot. And not to say that the wide receiver room at the time was, you know, full of the who's who of great Steeler receivers, but you had Hines Ward at the time, who was on the tail end of his career, no doubt about it. But you had Mike Wallace, and we're talking about peak Mike Wallace. I mean, this is Mike Wallace in his prime, no doubt about that. You had Antoine Randall-El, who was on his second stint on the Steelers, but a good slot receiver for the team. Emmanuel Sanders, who was probably drafted to be the replacement for Antoine Randall-El in a lot of ways, right? And then you had Arnaz Battle, who, I mean, look, Arnaz Battle, not a great receiver, but he was very much like Darius Heyward-Bey in that special teams specialist at wide receiver. So again, not the who's who, but when they drafted Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown, all of the hype was around Emmanuel Sanders, right? Everyone was thinking at the time, boy, if the Steelers can hit on Sanders like they did with Mike Wallace, well then, you know, the Steelers wide receiver room is going to be set for years and years to come. And, you know, Antonio Brown was this kind of, okay, we also got the sixth round pick, and he ran the kickback in week one, right? He ran the kickback to open that game, and people thought, well, okay, you know, he could be a good special teams guy, right? I mean, these are thoughts you have as a fan, right? Just watching the team and being around the organization. The hype was on the higher thought of players. And at the time, the Steelers thought Mike Wallace was the future at wide receiver, and they did so with good reason, right? I mean, he was a great, great deep threat, and you just hoped that he would eventually work out the rest of his game to become a more well-rounded wide receiver. That didn't happen. And so when he talks about two dogs, one bone, I mean, rookie year, yeah, it was a battle in a lot of ways between Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders for, you know, just as far as two rookies coming into the same organization. He's going up against a third-round pick, a guy who was already coming out of college, more highly thought of. Third-round picks don't generally get cut from rosters. So regardless of how well Emmanuel Sanders did during OTAs, during minicamp, during training camp that year, he was going to make the roster, right? And Antonio Brown there was no guarantees for him whatsoever. And then later on in his career, you know, it came down to Antonio Brown versus Mike Wallace and who was going to be the future at wide receiver. And there was a lot of debate, right? I mean, it wasn't as though that was like a clear cut, oh yeah, the Steelers are definitely going to keep Antonio Brown and let Mike Wallace go. In fact, the reports that I read at the time said that the Steelers offered similar contracts to both Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown, and that Mike Wallace didn't like the deal and felt like, hey, I'm going to go sign for bigger money, and went to Miami. And Antonio Brown was happy to sign the deal. And that's how Antonio Brown became a Steeler. It wasn't because the Steelers said, oh my God, we have this future Hall of Famer. He's going to be one of the greatest Steelers of all time. We have to get him locked up to a new deal now. No, I mean, look, they thought, well, you know, if we don't get Wallace, we get Brown. Brown's good too, right? I mean, no one knew Antonio Brown was going to become this great receiver that he is today. Certainly no one could have expected after year one or year two of Antonio Brown that he would become as dominant a wide receiver as he is today. And so I would say don't read into anything that's been going on with Antonio Brown over the past week. The skipped OTAs, again, the same with Ben Roethlisberger. It's a nothing thing. Who cares, right? The Instagram posts, they're nothing, right? I mean, it's just him trying to motivate himself. And this idea that he doesn't want to practice with Landry Jones and Mason Rudolph, again, that's nonsense as well. He is showing respect to his quarterback as he should. So just wanted to bring that up today, clear up some things I talked about last week. I felt like I might have taken some things myself from Antonio Brown out of context. So wanted to clear that up today. All right. Tomorrow on the podcast, we're going to do a mini camp preview. And then, of course, mini camps start tomorrow. So you'll have a preview podcast for you tomorrow morning. And then mini camps will be all day Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we will review them on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday editions of this podcast. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at Steeler Country. I will try to live tweet as much as I can about mini camps. I will not be at mini camps this weekend. I will, though, be at training camp in July. So Locked On Steelers will be at training camp in from July 25th through August, I want to say August 15th, I think is the last day of training camp. You can leave feedback, steelercountry@gmail.com, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.